FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 1919. Actually, that would be 1919. You know about numerology and all that, and everything is determined by your numbers. And certainly for economies, nothing could be truer. Hey, the email address is kl@kerrylutz.com if you want to join the show and participate and be a part of it. Well, payroll growth last month, job growth through the roof. Is that a sign of good things to come, or is it a sign that the economy's peaked? Well, we've got noted economic expert on with us, Brad Williams, been on with us many times before. Brad, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year, Kerry. Good to be here.
Hey, so what about those jobs? I kind of feel like I'm saying, what about those Mets or those Yankees? But it's kind of a sport. Kind of
the Cubs.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about the Cubs, but especially being a New Yorker, a former New Yorker. But
okay,
but seriously,
that's right.
hey, you got it in. It's all right. A plug for the Cubs. But seriously, job numbers. If we're living in the best of all possible job environments, how can it possibly get any better? And what does it mean for the economy?
Well, it means the economy's growing. It means that the business is prospering. And in this environment where regulations are being reduced, I know the new tax bill is going to affect me in a positive way. My accountant's already called me to tell me that. So that gives business owners and consumers confidence that they can make the decisions that they need to make purchases and things that are, long-term.
Hey, but is it more of a sign that the economy's peaked? Let's face it, this thing is a lagging indicator, correct? Jobs growth. We were at generational lows for new claims for unemployment insurance. I mean, aren't we really living in the best of all possible worlds and it's only down from here?
Well, as long as we're growing manufacturing and jobs are coming back, then we'll see, growth, maybe, not near the pace we've seen, but, we'll see. I mean, it's going to plateau. It always does. That's the nature of the economy. It's like seasons. You have all four seasons for a reason. So, but right now it's good.
Yeah. A time to grow, a time to live, a time to die. I mean, I'm really quoting that biblical passage.
Please,
I'm a little bit off on my biblical studies, forgive me, but so there's a cycle for everything. And the question is, and you need to know this, is are we at the end of the cycle, end of prosperity, and we go into a recession, or is it full steam ahead? Is Trump going to pull another rabbit out of the hat? That's what I want to know.
Well, and there's a lot of reasons why the economy shouldn't be doing what it's doing. Interest rates are rising. Our national debt over the last 10 years, doubled. And there's a lot of issues. Social Security's got issues. Medicare's got issues. So from a governmental standpoint, which eats up a lot of our GDP, there are some dark clouds on the horizon. But I think with the president's attitude about, make America first and bringing jobs back and things like that, it's caused this growth, and we'll see how long it lasts. It's, I would have thought the stock market would have corrected right about the time of the election in 2016. But, in fact, I was thinking it was going to do it long before that. But, even with zero interest rate money gone, the market continues to grow.
Hey, all right. So the market keeps growing and, we're defying gravity, if you will. But the debt, the largest line item on the budget very shortly is going to be debt. So how does an economy prosper? Can you borrow your way to prosperity? It's an age old argument, Brad. If you're taking on debt, to invest in productive activities, profit-making, wealth-building activities. That's one thing. But if you're taking on debt to buy more flat-screen TVs that are made in China or Korea, more cars where the parts are not made in the U.S., and education for majors like puppetry and art history that are really going to pave the way for you to get a great career.
The job market for those, that's right.
Right? So what happens? I mean, how does this benefit the U.S. economy? And then the companies are making more money, but they're using it for stock buybacks. So where's it all end here?
Well, and you brought up a lot of good points, and those are the points I make on a regular basis. If we can slow and stop government spending, which I know that's a hard statement to make, over time we can grow out of this problem, but it's going to take a lot of discipline, which I've long ago, decided that Washington doesn't have unless there's some major changes there. So you've got all these are good points, and there will be a day of reckoning. And you're right. When interest rates start rising back to normal levels, then the share of interest payments on our debt is going to eat up a larger and larger portion of our economy, and it's going to squeeze out private borrowers. So, like I said, those are all valid points that we're kind of navigating through, and who knows where we're going to end up. But it's just that as long as we keep growing, at least we have a chance of dealing with these issues.
Right.
If things slow down, then we got some severe problems.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. We're really of one mind on this. And when you say discipline and handling things in a mature way, et cetera, but then you've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is...
Why did I know that name was getting ready to come up?
Yeah, that's responsibility. She's a moron by any stretch. She's a typical product of the millennial entitlement generation. Oh, yeah, just don't worry about where the money's going to come from for universal health care. We'll just finance it the way we're financing the economy now, which effectively she's saying, let's just go more and more into hock and drive the country further and further into bankruptcy, and everything's going to work out, right?
Yeah, and like all spoiled kids, she doesn't realize that all her goodies are costing her parents a lot of money. And one day she's going to have to pay for them herself. Well, she just hadn't gotten there yet.
Her parents are probably on welfare, Brad. I mean, she's a single. Her father left. She's a single product of a single parent home. I'm going to try to get her on the show. I doubt it'll ever happen, but you never know. My daughter went to BU as well. She's an economics major here, Brad. Look, I majored in business and law, but I still know that what goes up, must come down, and eventually the check is due, and you can no longer say that the check is in the mail because, they only believe you for so long, right? One of the three greatest lies, as they say. So what the heck do you do?
Right.
I mean, that's what we're dealing with here.
One thing is, it's kind of like you should always keep a communist around because then you'll forget what they are. And as long as there's at least one of them around to spout what they spout, then at least you know how ridiculous it is.
Yes.
And, I think she's going to cause a division in her own party with all the sane people kind of going, wait a minute, where am I? And the rest of them kind of like lemmings going off the cliff. But fortunately, even her own party is starting to put up roadblocks against her. I mean, when Whoopi Goldberg comes out after you, you're in pretty bad shape.
Okay, so who would you rather have as first lady, Whoopi Goldberg or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Who's your preference there? Just curious.
I think I'd rather have a widower in there. not have to worry about it. Can we have a third choice?
or the existing first lady. Hey, she's
that's
okay.
Right.
We'll keep her. So, hey, it's such a paradox here. So it's like, I love watching this because, it just shows like so much of what we're going through in our society now and the changes. I'm I'm calling the millennials the next greatest generation. I know it sounds funny, especially when I talk about some of them, but they are going to be the ones that get the tab for all of our baby boomer idiocy, and they're going to have to do something about it. And I believe that they will rise to the occasion because they have no choice. Because once the credit card is maxed out, you go bankrupt and you're done. And there's nothing else to do here, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, and I look at my oldest daughter, who graduated from Auburn with a math degree, and it has a great job, and her friends, and she has the right attitude about things, is very responsible with money, and there's a lot of her friends that are like that, and they laugh at the millennials that are following Cortez and all them. I mean,
off the cliff, right?
So there is a group of those millennials that were raised properly and have common sense. It's just they're just not the most vocal.
Yeah, my kid's the same. I have three millennials, all very successful, very proud of them, practical people. You know, they do buy into this garbage of restricting First Amendment rights and other misguided policies, but they're intelligent, and eventually I think they will see the light. Eventually, we all have to see the light, because that light is on the front of a locomotive named debt.
Coming down the tunnel.
Debt that is coming down the tunnel at us, and it's not slowing down. It's picking up speed, and we're like having a party, a major party. Everybody's been invited, all the finest people. Everybody's dressed, and they're partying out, enjoying it like it's 1999, and that locomotive is bearing down on all of you out there, and you better get off the tracks, because if you don't get off the tracks, you know what happens when that locomotive hits at triple digits. There's not much left remaining in its path, is there?
Right. There's not, and then you have a worldwide reset. I mean, you know, when you look at it, and the sad part is when you look at the world, you know, almost like a laundry basket, and you look at all the problems all over the country, as many problems as we have, we're still the cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper.
And
that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I mean, yeah, we're the best looking horse in the glue factory. I've heard that one. You know, we are the most beautiful girl in the ugly girl contest. You know, we could go down the list of analogies here. And they're all applicable. So, you know, of anyone, we have the most debt, though, as well. But up until now, we had a political system that eventually reacts to crises. They have to become crises. It's not proactive in any stretch. That is the problem with democracy, is lack of proactivity. If that's a word or not, I don't know. But hopefully we'll come and understand our evil ways and mend them. But in the meantime, Brett, you and I got to live in the real world. So how do we protect ourselves against stupidity, which that's the thing about the millennials. The dumb ones believe that stupidity is a virtue, and analytical thought and rational behavior is a vice.
Yeah, it's hard to deal with that. You know, that defies all logic. And I guess from a personal standpoint, is just keep your house in order. You know, keep your debt down, keep, you know, have your investments set up where, you know, right now, you know, you should be more defensive, even though the market seems to have come off its, you know, fourth quarter drop. And just, you know, plan and, you know, plan for the contingencies. And I think just hoping, making plans that everything's going to continue like it is not very wise. So, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. And that's how I position my clients is, you know, let's build contingencies in here and have a plan for when things happen so that we're not surprised because, you know, the music stops and you got to make sure you have a chair.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually the music is going to stop and let's just see what happens next. It's all about what's next on the Financial Survival Network. Hey, again, if you guys want to get involved with the show, email us. We read everything. It's a good question. We'll read it on the show. It's a great question. We'll interview you. And look, if you're listening on YouTube or on a podcast, please subscribe, like, and share us. Send us to a friend. Got to get the word out. We're entering what I believe is the new economy. And all bets are off. Anything can happen. So check out our Facebook page. We like to cover kind of irreverent, entertaining, amusing situations that arise in life and the economy. They do exist, believe me. And Brett, it's always great having you on. Just tell us, where do we find
you? It's great being on.
Yeah, where do we find your work and how can we connect with you?
Well, best way is if you have a financial question, just ask Brad Williams. So go to askbradwilliams.com.
All right. It doesn't get any easier than that. We'll have a link to your site in the show notes to this interview. Click it and you can ask Brad any question you want. Brad, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much for coming on.
All right, Carrie. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.